Milkshake.
Okay. Dick. What the fuck is up, everybody? My name is Skylar Woods. This is CO Local. And with me today is the fucking man of mystery himself, Matt Meehan.
Austin Powers.
I today got Hayden here with me co-hosting, and then I got my boy Ben behind the camera hooking us up. But today's about you, Matt.
Wow. Thanks.
We brought you in because you're going to be our live stream performance for first of the year, January. And it's going to be for your project Gloomy.
Yep.
Now, before we get too much into all your various projects and things like that, I just want you to maybe tell people a little bit about who you are and maybe just a couple of the projects you're in without going into a lot of details.
My name is Matt. I'm from Tucson, Arizona. I moved to Colorado when I was 14. Been a part of the music scene here ever since. It's been my home, my refuge, and so on. Currently, my active projects are a hardcore punk band called Mind's Eye and my solo acoustic project, Gloomy, which is why we're here today.
Hell yes. Okay, and then as far as like, now you have those two projects going on. Those are really the only two things you're currently involved in?
Actively, yeah. Actively. I mean, I have some tentative projects. I'm going to be doing a MySpace era deathcore band.
Is that because of the new like MySpace fake pro like thing that
my the guitar player for Gloomy for Mind's Eye and I are both vegan, and so we wanted to start a vegan band, but we want to like bring it back to that 2006 deathcore era with all the kinds of movie samples and
dude fuck yes
like woo breakdowns and stuff.
Like the shittiest sounding snare drum of all time.
Yeah,
it's like bing bing, like every time it's just super loud and obnoxious.
I'm actually going to time travel to the 1980s in New York and go get one of those tin trash cans.
Fuck yes. That's so, what you got to do.
Yeah.
Perfect.
Well, that's cool. So, you know, it's like a fun side project, something that you're kind of like just got for
it's just
going to
be, a little studio demo thing for funsies.
Nice. So, you know, getting into Gloomy, I wanted to talk a little bit about like how that project formed, what it's sort of, what shape it has for you now, and just, you know, what that looks like for you going forward.
Essentially, I got introduced to all of the subgenres, the post-punk subgenres, honestly, through the emo scene, because when I got into live music in the early 2000s, what was really big here in Colorado was emo and then all the adjacent genres. And so at one point, I was like, I want to have some sort of emo kind of project. And obviously, there are subgenres of it and stuff. So a couple of friends and I got together, wrote three songs, recorded them real quick with Kanan, who was of Alters.
Yeah, back when he was still doing his studio stuff.
Yeah. Yeah, we recorded it in his living room while a few of his homies were sleeping on mattresses in the living room.
That's awesome.
But yeah, it was cool, man. We did that little quote-unquote full band demo, and then
that was like the birth of this project.
Yeah. You know, we were called Sleeping In then, and then we had to change our name, but we kind of settled on Gloomy because initially we started kind of more on the pop punk emo kind of side,
like what the story so far
more like earlier Citizen
stuff
like that was nice. Kind of the vibe, and then I moved. And then in Arizona, one of the guitar player or the bass player at the time ended up being the guitar player. We wrote like a shoegaze full length. We rebranded as Gloomy. I moved back here. We recorded a couple songs with you.
Hibernation and
the other one.
The other one.
Yeah. Anxious.
Anxious,
which I can't play because I'm not a real guitar player.
I was like, you got through the recording, I guess.
That's it, man. I just sang the songs.
Yeah,
I'm actually going to be playing Hibernation today. I decided it was going to be
fuck
fun.
Yes. Yeah. Hell yeah.
And then, and then after that kind of died out, I wanted to continue just writing music for me. And, so yeah, now it's essentially just a solo project. It's just me and an acoustic guitar.
That's cool. And how long before, you know, before now, or actually before you reached out to me saying you wanted to record the EP, did it just sort of exist as like a passion little project on your own at the house kind of?
I mean, I don't think, Gloomy itself is ever going to go past playing some local shows here and there once shows come back. And that's okay. Yeah. I mean, honestly, it's just a way for me to, express things that I'm feeling. And I finally got confident enough with my songs after I wrote a couple and recorded them with Max Barksdale of Why They Fight fame.
I fucking love Max.
Yeah, he's a wonderful human being.
And his studio has like seriously like really come up this year.
Yeah, he's been building, man. And, and honestly, he inspires me because I know he's really going through it. And he has times where I'm seeing him doubt himself. I'm like, man, get your ass back up in there. So let me
I know,
me
he's so talented, man. He definitely cannot quit that.
Yeah, no, he's incredible, man. But yeah, so he let me come into his living room and record a 3-song acoustic EP.
Sweet.
Put that up on Spotify and all that fun stuff. I want to say it was like a year and a half ago. And then since then I've just been writing, and then eventually I was like, hey Skylar, like I have these songs I would really like to do a real EP.
I actually remember when you first reached out to me, you're like, I think I want to do like 2 songs. Mm-hmm. And then you're like, no, actually, you know what? I'm just going to do a single and see how people think. And then like a couple days later you hit me up and you're like, I actually think I'm going to do 5 songs. It turned into 5. And I was like, dude, I'm fucking down for whatever. You know I am.
You're like, give me the money.
No, I'm just joking. Like that. but yeah, I mean, you just kept going back and forth. And then you got here and you were like, all right, so it's going to be 5 acoustic songs. And then actually a 6th one also where it's the whole, like me playing all
band,
the band stuff. And I was like, God damn it. Of course, you couldn't help yourself, Matt. Had too much material.
Well, yeah, I mean, the one song that like that I did full band, it was initially on that shoegaze full length that I did with the old guitar player, and then he re-recorded it for his other band that defunct, and then I was like, man, that song is such a fun, simple little dreamy song that I wanted to give it, I feel like, a quality recording.
It's like you wanted it to like exist on a record that wasn't going to just get pushed away
exactly
for the rest of eternity.
Yeah, and it's kind of almost a little kiss goodbye to that era of gloomy.
So do you think like moving forward there will be any more songs as shoegazy like that one, or will they still
perhaps stick? I mean, I'm not a real guitar player, so that's why it's literally just me and an acoustic. I mean, I understand tones, but I don't have the I guess passion to invest in a fucking pedal board and all that stuff. I mean, in the event it gloomy were to blossom into a full band project again, maybe I would invest more.
Right.
At that point there would be a lead guitar player, because all I can play are like,
so you'd be able
to
lean on some other guys. Thinking like,
exactly. Yeah. I'd still be the brainchild of the, you know, the core of the stuff, but then at that point it would be a lot more of a, but I mean, who knows? It may just end up continuing to be acoustic. Like, I think the next goal is to do a full length, and it'll probably be at
still
least
acoustic?
50 to 75% acoustic.
Oh, okay, cool.
Yeah, I'm hugely inspired by, there's that band, The Spill Canvas.
Fuck yes,
and their
of course
first full length is like 80% acoustic, just the one dude, and then had his friends come in and do full band stuff with him for a few of the songs. So like, it kind works. Of the same vibe, yeah.
You know, I'm actually interested on that, talking about the like textures and the aesthetics of what you choose to put in the record, you know, with Hayden being someone who's new and listened to your music.
Yeah.
Like, did any of those things that he's talking about like come across to you when you're listening to it?
Oh,
or
yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. I would say like, and you know, even Ben and I were kind of talking about this earlier when he was listening to your songs for the first time, is like, it's almost, you almost get that nostalgic feeling for like us, you know, because like, back then when like, you know, when we were in high school or whatever, getting really into music, you know, you get that like that feeling like when you're listening to bands like The Story So Far, like punk bands and stuff like that. And you just like, you get filled with that just badass feeling.
Yeah.
And the like a lot of the things that I heard in like in your songs and everything were very reminiscent of like that era for me. And that's one of the things that got me like most excited about it. And like, I wouldn't even tell that you weren't a real guitar player either, man. It sounded great.
Oh, thank you so much.
And the
man.
Guitar too. Like,
in terms of like the acoustic choice too, I don't think it like, I honestly don't think it diminishes anything like as far as like being in contrast to like a full band with electric guitars.
Right.
Like, I actually kind of think it's almost a little bit working in your favor, or like strengthens the music because it's so bare bones, right? Like,
right.
It's just you, your voice, and all these cool vocal layers you're doing, but then you like a really solid structured guitar part, right? Like, it doesn't have to have a shit ton of crazy ditties, right? Like, you got good chords.
Did you say titties?
Ditties.
Oh, sorry. I got excited.
Oh, damn. Hang on a second.
Backtrack.
But you know what
advisory.
I mean? Like, as long as it has something that's like got a good rhythm that you can feel with the rest of the music, those vocals seem to stand out a lot more, I think, because you're choosing to do it.
And that's honestly, and I appreciate you noticing that. And I think the thing for that is like, As a 30-year-old emo kid who came into it, you know, there's, again, so many subgenres of like the emo post-hardcore genres that when I got into to that stuff, a lot of emo was bare bones acoustic, or at least like the hits of these full bands where they're acoustic tracks. And so like for me, I've always identified with these raw kind of like, I wrote this song for me, or I wrote this song for one person to hear. And, it's more vulnerable, I think.
Definitely.
Because if I'm in a full band and there's another guitar and a bass and a drummer, I can just hide my shitty.
I've never been anything but a drummer.
Yeah.
Because like, it's weird. Like I love doing all this kind of stuff and I like producing things. Mm-hmm. But I honestly, like you mentioned before, being on a stage in front of people and like being the one who's connecting sort of, you know, the music, the person between, and then the audience, I can't be that.
Yeah.
That guy in the middle. It stresses me out too much. Like all of a sudden I'm not myself anymore.
Yeah.
Like I do much better behind the set where I can be protected.
Yeah,
safe,
exactly.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. Yeah. And like every band I've been in up until Fortune's Fool, I've always been the front man. Cause it was like first project I had was an acoustic thing with the original guitar player of the first band I joined. When I was 16, he was like, "Hey, you sing those songs. Do you want to come sing in our screamo band?" And I was like, "Fuck
was
yeah."
Was that As Told By?
As Told By, yeah. So that was the first band that I had. And then from that point, it kind of just blossomed to me being like a front man, if you will. So like,
people like tell you you're that. I've actually talked with Eli about this a bunch, where he's like, you know, I started as a singer because it was the only thing I was like able to do in a band, and I wanted to be with my friends making music.
Right.
He's like, and then from that day on, that's what everybody just saw me as.
Yeah, exactly.
He's like, I was never asked to do anything else but sing or be a vocalist.
I'm just pulling up the CO Local story right now. I'm not ignoring you.
Fine.
Look, we're doing a podcast.
In the middle of it.
I was like, damn, I should probably do something with this. But yeah, man, that's the thing is like, you know, as a teenager and younger, it's like people always saw me as like the singer of that band or the front man. And so like, then I moved to Arizona, started a deathcore band where I was the vocalist.
Right.
Came back
what
here.
What was the name of that one? Just for
Crowdkill. It was really embarrassing. Yeah, no, it's really embarrassing. The songs were really cool. We actually came out back to Colorado and recorded our 3-song demo with Seth Munson.
Oh, fuck yeah. I bet that shit slapped.
Oh, it sounds really good. I think it's only on YouTube or something, because it was very of its time, like lyrically misogynistic and disgusting.
I know, man. There's so many things like that. Like, what's up with the classic music video with like a girl being tortured to it and strapped to a chair?
I don't know, man.
Like in the fucking like 2010 to 2018, that was like every
it
fucking
was still,
metalcore and death metal video.
I don't know, man.
And you're like, why? We look back at that now and we're like, man, that did not age.
No, but I mean, you know, again, it's like an era thing, right? Not to say it's necessarily okay, but it's like I was younger. It was like what was cool and like,
right.
I don't
know. All
so,
kinds of
yeah,
I
mean,
about.
We grow, right? Like everybody grows as an individual and as society progresses, so do we. But so yeah, I mean, I it was like a little emo thing, screamo thing, deathcore thing. I drummed in Fortune's Fool, which was like a heavier hardcore band.
Yeah.
Now I'm drumming in like a more hardcore punk band, and I'm still singing acoustic emo. So it's kind of like
you get the best of both worlds.
Yeah,
yeah.
Full circle.
That is cool. Like it shows a lot of growth as a musician, right? Like where you weren't just satisfied with just sticking in that one place. Like you wanted to develop musically. And so you pushed yourself into these uncomfortable places, right?
Mm-hmm.
Which I think is an important lesson for seriously all musicians. It's really easy to just be good at something. It's really scary and difficult to fucking say, I want to be good at that.
Right.
So let me try.
And that's the thing too, is like you know, so many of my friends at least had some sort of class in school or like some sort of classical training. I never did. Like, I can't read music. Like, I don't know.
Even still, like, do you?
No, I mean, I look up tabs sometimes for songs that I like. Honestly, if you listen to Gloomy, most of my songs are probably like the same 10 chords with a capo in a different place. So it sounds different.
Yeah.
But you'll see on the stream, it's just like, oh, those are the same fucking chords. What is this guy doing and getting away with? But, but like, yeah, man, it's like, I don't know. Yeah, exactly. I was like, oh man, like my dad's a drummer, but then he ended up singing in like his classic rock band. And
nice.
I was like, man, I've always wanted to drum.
Like, maybe
it's fun. Yeah. And so I picked it up and, you know, I'm not the best at any of these things, but I'm comfortable enough in my craft where I can get by.
And feel confident in your own ability to say like, you know, I think even if I don't get this like perfect or amazing, like I could maybe do something inspiring.
Right.
Yeah,
exactly.
And that, I mean, people sometimes get those two things confused, right? Like there's plenty of musicians out there who might not be like the most technically proficient in in like their instrument. But like actually, who is a good example of that? The fucking singer of Joy Division. Right? Like,
oh, yeah, yeah.
Like, he was a terrible fucking guitar player for a long time.
Yeah.
And then it was like only in his like final years was he really like actually super good.
Yeah.
But he knew songwriting and he knew music and he liked feeling, right? So he like followed those guidelines as opposed to some technically.
Right. And that's always been the case with me too in any project I've been in. Even if I was just the singer of a band, I've always been super into the composition side of songwriting. Like I've always had like a vision from start to finish, the aesthetic, music videos, merch, all of that stuff. I've always kind of had a point A to point Z mindset.
Right. Thinking about like the experience of the person on the other end.
Right. The audience from point A to point Z. And so like even in songwriting, I may not know how to play a certain thing, but I'd be like, hey, guitar player, play a melody that's like, and they're like, what the fuck did you just say?
Every time I've recorded with you and a group of other musicians, I could always see that, right? Like you definitely have a lot of input even on the things like that are not necessarily like your job. Like when you were drumming in the other band, you're always willing to help and provide insight to all those other parts of the music because you're looking at the big picture and then and not just thinking about the individual instrument. Or something like that.
Yeah,
I definitely see that working with you.
That's who I am, I guess. You know what I mean?
Well, you know what? Actually, that works as a really good segue into the next thing I kind of want to talk about on the podcast, which is what you'd mentioned before. So this is Gloomy, which we've been talking about, which is your solo work. But there's also a really cool and exciting thing happening in your life with your band, which is Mind's Eye, which is the hardcore punk band you mentioned. And I mean, there's a lot of big shit that you guys are doing right now. And, you know, it looks like a lot of momentum is being built. So I kind of still want to hear about that. I know it's not like everything is gloomy.
No, yeah, Gloomy is really just me sitting in my bedroom, but Mind's Eye is for sure like my main musical focus. So,
and that band, for anyone who doesn't know, you drum.
I do, yeah, I play drums in that band. Nice. Yeah, man, Mind's Eye, we...
What's Left Records for all things underground and metal, punk, grind, hardcore, and more. Where are you located, man? 829 North Circle. Come and see us at What's Left Records.
Yeah, man, Mind's Eye, we initially did a single and then we did a 4-song EP and it was making waves just locally a little bit. And then COVID happened. And right before COVID happened,
what was that EP called? The Get to Steppin'? Or no, it was,
Way to Lose.
Way to Lose.
Get to Steppin'.
That was the Soulvice.
Soulvice. Close enough.
My bad.
It's okay, man.
But
Rest in peace.
To Lose.
But yeah, Way to Lose was our first EP. It was kind of our introduction and hey, this is us. And then we really, with this new EP, I pissed my band off so much because I'm always like thinking ahead and I'll make decisions and jump into things without even really consulting them, which is really shitty on my part.
Yeah, but you know it about yourself and I know you're working on it.
I'm trying to work on it. But, but that being said, I had the guy who recorded us, Taylor Hahn.
Shout out Hahn Audio.
Yeah, man. Yeah. He was like, hey, I have this time open here. I'll hook it up if you guys can get in. And
he did the first one too.
He also did the first one, yeah. And so I was like, okay, cool. And we had already started writing some stuff for the new EP.
Yeah.
But then at that point, they were like, man, what the fuck? Why did you book this? And then we rushed and just fucking kicked out this EP. And then ironically, after we rushed and recorded it, COVID happened. Mm. Black Lives Matter stuff started taking place and all of these things were more important than us just kicking out this EP.
Dude, I felt that way about all the CL Local stuff too for a huge chunk of this year. Like that's why we didn't even start really doing anything new again until, what was it, October or something like that. Yeah, but sorry, continue.
Oh, you're good. And then, you know, lots of personal stuff happened, deaths and relationship loss and stuff like that. And so we kind of culminated And near the end of this year, we were like, okay, I think now that things have calmed down a little bit, let's at least kick this EP out as we're writing for a full length. And nice. We premiered it through noecho.net, which is like a primarily a hardcore, like kind of zine online news source for current hardcore bands. And from there, man, it got kicked up to like Stereo Gum did a piece on us, which was insane to me, dude. Blew me away.
I know, right? And it wasn't like you guys asked them to do that, right? Like
no,
they got
I think
pushed
they
their
saw
direction.
It. Yeah, they probably saw the No Echo thing. I think they got friends there over there. And
that's so cool.
Fucking Brooklyn Vegan said something, which is also another really big.
Yeah, dude. I mean, and that's like speaking to an audience that you're trying to reach,
yeah,
right?
That
like,
we would not have otherwise. Yeah. And so the one thing kind of stepped up to another. And before we dropped our EP, it's been 1 month as of yesterday or the day before. We had maybe like 105 monthly listeners, and now we're averaging around 1,500, which is like super cool after a month
of the EP
being out. So
that's always the first. That's like a good thing to see, is like reassuring as a musician to like feel like you're doing things right.
I mean, we got people from like Europe hitting us up like, bro, like press this, like this
hell
is so good, come to Europe.
I know,
Europe.
It's so cool how they always want that out in Europe, like
I
more
know.
Pressing. So like if you can get with like a small distribution label out there, man, I would be fucking thrilled for you guys.
Yeah, and then I think we have a couple of places interested in working with us, but we're just still like unsure about what route we want to go, because I think the focus right now is writing this full length and then really getting that shopped out to see what happens. But but either way, like the response has been phenomenal, and we're super appreciative and lucky, I think, in that sense. And even when we went on our first tour with Fortune's Fool a couple summers ago, we had just released Way to Lose, and every show was, you know, small amount of people, but at least one person at every show knew the words to one song, and even that was like,
yeah,
like,
man, that's
blowing.
Great.
Yeah,
I love the style, because like you said, it really drives the hardcore punk element, right?
Yeah.
It's not just like the typical, like the hardcore that's sort of dominating right now.
It's the heavier stuff, more beatdown.
But
and like
I grew up with
stuff.
Shit like Kids Like Us, Down to Nothing, Know the Score, these fucking like punk
straight
bands.
Hardcore punk bands,
but that
but
was
with
like
the heavy mosh.
I just
parts.
Called them hardcore when I was a kid.
Yeah.
I didn't even fucking know like there was these other
subgenres. Yeah, yeah.
But it's interesting to me just how the culture sort of like revolves sometimes. You know what I mean? Because I think you guys are genuinely like bringing that style back at a point that's like, it's right around the edge of everybody being like, fuck yes, this is what we want.
Yeah.
More rotting out type shit. We want more fucking like grooves and fucking two steps.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. We focus less on the heavy parts. I mean, we still have the heavy parts, but we're like drop D.
Yeah.
You know, a lot of these other bands are at least C or lower and stuff, which is cool, man. Like
it
to
is.
Each their own. I love it all. I love all the hardcore and like subgenres of hardcore, but yeah,
I
mean, we're
but I
definitely
know what you mean. It's different.
More in the vein of like, yeah, like more like generic hardcore versus like these heavier, newer bands, which is again cool,
I like
man.
It.
Yeah, it's
I
fun,
like it.
But
I think it's interesting. You you mentioned that this True Blue, the new album, was like more rushed.
It was more rushed, but there was still more thought into the songwriting,
there was.
If that
oh,
makes
okay.
sense. You know what I mean? We didn't just throw it together. It
well,
was
that's
like,
what I was wondering, is like if it was like rushed, if it felt rushed, and then you were more surprised by the reaction, or if it did still get its like due diligence,
man,
to sort of develop.
We are always surprised at, honestly, at any positive reception, and even me as an individual, to anything that like musically I put out, and I'm just super appreciative regardless. So like, in terms of the songwriting, like we did have to write stuff quickly, but we had been like, for instance, River had been tinkering with riffs and the song, like the individual parts were a lot more complex and thought out than the first EP.
Yeah.
But in terms of recording, we definitely rushed it. Like there are parts in the recordings that I'm like, damn, if I had more time to like practice that out, I play it differently live, for instance,
right.
a little
You'd
bit
like
than
drum fills or something.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Just minor things like that. Either way, we're really happy with how it came out, and we're happy of the reception, especially considering we had it ready in fucking January and released it in December. You know what
true.
I mean?
Yeah, that is true.
So
that's awesome, man. The other thing I wanted to kind of ask you about, so two big things happening, right? I know 2020 just ended, and
right.
so it's like all of these things have kind of been developing and then unfolding throughout that year. But you know, for everybody, 2020 was just such a transformative year, right?
Yeah,
like
for better or for worse.
For better or for worse, right? There was just so many things that happened, and in everyone's life, it was a little bit different. And I just kind of wanted some perspective from you, how that affected you and sort of like drove the decisions you made to sort of like pursue things the way that you did.
Yeah, man. I mean, I think a lot of people can safely say 2020 was one of the worst years, not just as a nation, but on individual levels.
So much, man. I mean, ugh.
Literally probably the worst year of my living experience. My daughter lost her mom to suicide.
Yeah.
It was like one of the hardest things that I went through. Yeah, man, it was pretty fucked up.
I'm sorry to hear that.
It's fine. I appreciate it. I mean, we're moving forward, and she's such an intelligent and understanding individual. And with how I've like raised her and communicate with her, she handled it so well that her therapist was like,
yeah,
I don't really need her to come here until she starts showing more signs if she does. So that was really cool.
That
definitely,
is good.
I started falling for a girl who ended up deciding to take off with my friend who I introduced her to.
Oh, damn.
So that was that was fun.
Lost, I'm sorry, man.
It is what it is, man. I mean, honestly, they're really good together.
So
actually,
it's a happy in a way.
Yeah, for them, for sure. I mean, it sucked, but it, again, transformative. You know, lost a couple other friends. Katrina, who I know your wife knew in high school.
Yeah.
She passed away. A friend named Courtney in Arizona. So I think I lost personally four people that I personally knew within the last year.
Would you say that like changed your perspective on a lot of things? Or
it's just honestly, I don't know how to like sound without sounding corny. It's just hardening me in a way because it's like at this point I'm 30 years old. I'm used to death. It's never easy when it happens for anybody. It's always still a shock and a bummer. But at this point I'm kind of just in a way like hardening myself for the future because people are just going to keep dying.
Dude, I know what you mean. And it's not like, what's the word when it's like all negative and bad?
Pessimism.
Yeah. It's not like a pessimistic thing. It's more like, like when you talk to your parents about death, right? Where they've already sort of accepted that death is a thing.
Yeah.
So it's not like it shakes them the way it maybe does someone younger.
Who's
with
like
less
in their
experience.
20s or.
Yeah.
Right. Exactly.
It's like you almost have a more developed understanding of like life and death in general. And so it's like you kind of, and as you lose more people, you learn that it's like, you know, being stuck and depressed and sad about their deaths actually doesn't do them any justice either.
It doesn't.
For
I mean, there's
life.
Nothing that they can do about it. Mm-hmm. All you, the two options at anything in life are either stop or keep going.
Yeah.
And so I just continue. And I'm going to be real with you. I am a pessimist, but I consider pessimism realism.
Yeah.
Prepare for the worst, hope for the best is kind of how I view things. Yeah. Try not to let it dwindle to affect anybody else negatively. But I think that also expresses itself through my songwriting. I mean, like a lot of, even on this new EP, there are lots of themes of depression and suicidal ideology, which, I mean, I don't promote suicide whatsoever. And thankfully, I'm not in any place of, you know, that low. But I mean, I think everybody has those questions within themselves of, you know, is this worth it? And so on. And so, I don't know, with everything that's gone on this year, especially like, I think it's affected definitely the songwriting aspect of it.
That's interesting. I always have kind of wondered, you know, it's like, when you have like the worst year, it's like sometimes it coincides with like the best creative stuff.
Absolutely.
You've ever
done. Yeah. And I think that's the case with any songwriter or musician or artist. It's like those are the raw hard emotions rather than the day to day interactions. It's like those are the things that make us human and relate to other human beings, whether it be heartache, loss, death, or the utmost happy parts of our life, falling in love, seeing success in the people you care about.
Yeah.
These are all like super important because once you're gone, you know, it's like you said, you can't sit around and mope around because it's like they're gone, but at least they created those memories with you.
Yeah.
They had the highs and the lows with you. You witnessed them and you relate to them and then you keep going until you're gone.
Exactly. And you don't let the, and you almost like honor them by doing that.
Yeah,
that's
absolutely
really the truth of it.
Yeah, for sure.
I am glad to hear that Rain has handled it so well. I'm sorry if you didn't want me using
it. Oh, no, absolutely. No, it's totally cool.
But, you know, I know it's like hard. I've had co-parenting relationship with Wesley's mom for a long time, and we've never had to deal with anything that traumatic. But it's just, you know, children, they amaze you how resilient they can be.
Yeah.
And it's like watching them handle things like that. It like makes you better because you're like, fuck, man, like I can't let this fuck me up. If my daughter's going to sit here and do that much better,
for your kid.
Absolutely. Yeah, I got to be there with her on this. Like, we got to be a team together.
And I think with any parent, like, you always want to do better than how you believe your parents did with you. You're going to see the flaws in their parenting. And when they get old, they're going to be like, Dad, I fucking hate that you told me this thing every day. But it's like, you know, all we can do is do our very best. There's no rule book to parenting, but I'm thankful, at least in my case, that my daughter is resilient. She's strong. But I think an important thing too is we don't emphasize mental health enough in terms of development, because I think of how the, you know, childhood traumas and stuff that I went through. My goal is to try very, I mean, there's always going to be things that happen, but very, very hard to prevent as much of that stuff as I can. And any sort of fucked up stuff that happens, I'm going to be right there and I'm going to make sure she gets the mental health help she needs and so on, because there's not enough emphasis on that. Because there's you think about it and kids are like resilient and you see the face value, but
it's
you don't understand.
Coping.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
In 20 years, they're going to be like, go to therapy, and their therapist is going to be like, damn, that really fucked you up. And your parents had no idea, did they?
Yep. Yeah. I thought that when we got Wesley involved with therapy at a young age too.
Yeah.
Because it's like, you just don't want to wait till it's a problem.
Nah, man. I mean, because you never know. And we're not fucking brain doctors.
No, dude, man, I'm doing the best I can.
Exactly.
I've never said that that's great.
Yeah. But,
I'm
I mean,
just doing what I can.
That's really what it comes down to. Yeah. But, you know, honestly, with my daughter, she teaches me as much as I teach her. And it's just kind of a day-to-day thing. And now with her mom being gone, it's like, it's really all on me.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So, yeah, and I did write a couple songs in regards to that situation that aren't on this EP. They'll probably make it to the full length, but I don't know if I'm ready for those to see the light of day yet.
I imagine very, very personal.
Yeah.
Well, just while we're closing that topic, I just want you to know, I respect the fucking hell out of you, Matt. I always have. And,
thanks, man.
You know, even knowing your story from this year and just a lot of the hardships you face, it just makes me respect you that much more.
I appreciate that.
I was just going to say, it's really good to see that your relationship with your daughter is just going to continue to grow and like flourish because of the things that you guys are growing through together. And like you said, you're constantly teaching each other.
Yeah.
And that's just going to constantly grow and get better. And that's awesome to hear.
That's pretty much, you know, at this point, my reason for continuing. So,
yeah.
Well, and then on that note, you know, we're moving now, we're 2021. Right? You got
hard
a lot
reset.
Of things. Hard reset. Yeah. Got a lot of things to look forward to. Hopefully we get, like you mentioned earlier, shows and stuff like that back on the docket, maybe
hope,
by like summer or something.
Straight up. Give me that vaccine. I'll snort that shit. Let's get this taken care of.
I say that shit
give
too.
Give me the chip in my brain. I don't fucking care.
If
I want to go to a show.
Better, right. But I mean, I guess with that said, Matt, is there anything else you want to kind of plug or like let people know about to keep an eye on before we end the episode?
Man, I think one super important thing, especially during these hard times, is if there are ways to support your local venues or things like that, a lot of times they'll post like different bills getting passed to provide some funding to them.
Yeah, like the Save Our Stages stuff.
Exactly. Yeah, a lot of friends, especially within the music scene, are all creatives of different types. And so some people are pushing art. Some people are pushing products that they're creating.
Yeah.
There are tons of sex worker friends who are making money off of stuff like that. So go out of your way to pay your friends, whether it be like friends who are graphic artists and stuff like that, to, you know, always go directly to your friends and your inner circle before you go outwards for products or services.
Dude, I love that advice. That's actually great too. With all the, I'm sure a lot of the people in our community, like ourselves, are getting the stimulus money. Right?
Yeah,
and it's like that's what you do with it. Don't fucking go to Walmart and like buy a bunch of shit.
Yeah.
Right? Like give it to people and services that are struggling. Right.
Exactly.
And keep the community alive so that way it lasts to the point where we can get back to normal.
Yeah, man. Exactly. Yeah. So support your friends directly as much as you can. In turn, I'm sure they're going to support you, like with Mind's Eye, like we directly purchased artwork from Caleb Butcher. Some of our merch stuff is my friend Ringo, who's in a couple bands in Arizona. So it's like I always go out of my way to search for friends who are doing like graphic design work.
See, and that's great.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, so that's I think that's super important.
Usually
also
it's like more like original and like, you know, just unique and like quality, and like you appreciate it more too, you know, like whatever it may be, like
if it's coming from a place like that, there's just more to it, right?
Yeah,
it's not
yeah.
it's got substance as opposed to just being like
I bought this like on some website.
Yeah,
and
exactly.
Other people have it too, but that's cool.
That's super important. If you're gonna record and you know you're looking for somewhere like local, for instance, record with Skylar, record with your friends who are starting their studio, demo out stuff with them, like just keep it flourishing. If you're a single and you're talking to the baddies and you're asking for nudes, you better have cash in hand first. You know what I'm saying? No free nudes in this economy.
Goddamn right. Well, with that, Matt, thank you. I really appreciate you. I'm super pumped about the live stream tonight.
I'm going to fuck up all kinds. I'm terrified.
So let's start getting it set up and we'll see you guys next time. Peace.
All right, that does it for this episode. And thank you so much for listening, especially if you stuck it out to the very end. Be sure to join our community Facebook group, as well as follow us on Instagram at This Is CO Local. Thank you again, and we will see you soon.